Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio, WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The 2018 Winter Olympics are 5 months away, which means that Winter Olympians and would-be Winter Olympians are into the home stretch to get ready. The country's fastest long-track speed skaters are in Milwaukee at the moment in preparation for the Games in South Korea next February.
The U.S. National Long-Track Speed Skating Team wraps up a 10-day training camp at the Pettit National Ice Center on Saturday. That's also where the Olympic trials will be come January. The goal for the team is to put in a much better showing than in Sochi back in 2014. Two of the Olympians who grew up in the sport at the Pettit are with us in the studio, speed skaters Sugar Todd and Mitch Whitmore. Sugar Todd, welcome back to the show, and Mitch Whitmore, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Mitch Whitmore, this is your third Olympic cycle. Sugar Todd, this is your second, correct?
Correct.
How does getting ready for the 2018 Winter Games differ from how you and the team have prepared in the past, if at all?
I think this go-around, our team is really dialed in, and especially following Sochi, we've really covered all of our bases, and there will be no sort of missteps or any idea of what could possibly go wrong. We're really prepared. We're really focused. Our team is jiving really well together. We've really grown into a really great relationship with our coach, and everything's going pretty phenomenal at this point, I would say.
I got, you know, when we were talking out in the lobby before we came into the studio, I asked you how it was going, and it was like an unqualified great.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
People keep asking me, like, how training's going, how's the team doing, and there's just no buts about it. I think we're all doing really, really well, and I'm really excited for this season.
Mitch Whitmore, do you feel that too?
I do. I think, just as Sugar said, it's been a nice buildup over the past 4 years from our coaching staff all the way down to us. Like, everything has been dialed in to make sure that we perform in 2018.
Well, and I don't want to do a postmortem again on Sochi, because I think those were all done in the year and a half, 2 years, 3 years after Sochi. But when you were just saying that, you know, you took apart what happened 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago at this point, and you're making sure none of that happens again, what are the kinds of things that you're talking about? What are the things that haven't been left to chance this time around?
We're recreating. So last year, for example, we followed pretty much to a T what our plan will be for this Olympic season with training camps and travel and preparations. So last year was kind of a test run for us and working out any sort of kinks we might have had then. So this year can just be smooth sailing. So we'll do the same training camp here in Milwaukee prior to leaving for South Korea. And just little things that you might not think about, like what kind of food will we be eating when we're on the road, and, you know, who's going to be taking care of our blades and stuff like that. It's all been mapped out, so there's really nothing to worry about at this point.
What kind of food are you eating on the road?
Like, even little things like having blackout shades and being prepared for sleep that way, or, like she said, knowing what food is going to be prepared. But, like, we had our nutritionist come here for this camp and prepare the meals, or practice the meals, really, to see if, you know, they worked, and then just copying that in January when we come back.
I was just listening to somebody talk about sports nutrition, and they were saying that, like, the thing that sometimes people forget about is that the athletes have to want to eat the food.
Yeah, that helps if it's edible. But obviously nutrition's the big part of that.
Yeah, and we have a phenomenal team nutritionist, and she goes kind of above and beyond. She's cooked in some very sketchy situations on a hot plate on the floor in hotel rooms in Russia. So she had kind of like a full kitchen here where we were staying to make meals for everybody.
She saved our lives on that.
Now, I saw an Instagram picture of you at the Brewers game the other day. It did not look like sports nutrition.
That is a different kind of nutrition. That's fun nutrition.
You gotta have a little fun with it, and when you're in Milwaukee,
can't come home and not have a brat.
So, okay, let's talk about the differences. Both of you kind of grew up skating at the Pettit. You both train at the Utah Olympic Oval now. How does it differ? I mean, what's a week in the life training at the Pettit? How does it differ from what things are like in Utah?
I'd say the workouts generally are the same. Since we trained here, we've evolved as skaters. We've gotten better.
One hopes, yeah.
Yeah, training with the national team over the past 5 years has, you know, pushed us to a new level. But the biggest difference is that Salt Lake is at altitude and Milwaukee is not. And so the ice conditions are a lot different. Like here, you really have to work through the ice, especially on doing anything laps-wise.
We call it work ice.
Work ice. And it hurts more.
Is it like skating with weights?
It's just kind of a different kind of skating. You have to keep your tempo and rhythm up. You can't – you're not getting any free speed from the glide on the ice. You kind of have to keep throwing in your strokes to keep your speed up. So.
And to give you an example, like our 500 takes about 34 seconds. And for here, it would be about 35 seconds. So it's around a second difference.
One whole I'd second.
which is a long way, though, in our sport.
So what's the elevation in South Korea?
I think pretty similar to here. So we had a test event there last year, the World Championships, and the ice there is a pretty good quality, I think, for a sea-level rink. And the ice maker here, Paul, is really good at his job, and he's going to try to mimic the conditions that we had there here during this time, and then also our camp in January, just so we're better prepared.
Sugar, the last time we talked, you were still getting through an injury. Mitch, I gather you just were getting through an injury of a different sort. Talk about how your bodies are feeling at this stage in September of 2017.
We're getting old, man.
Well, yeah, you guys are like the veterans on the team now.
We're our late 20s. We're really crushing it.
It's up there.
Turns out, yeah, years and years of speed skating will lead your body to revolt a little bit. But I'm actually doing really well. I would say within the last even month to 6 weeks, I have finally started feeling like I will be normal again. My knee will be normal, and it's been performing for me. And I've stopped pretty much making any modifications whatsoever with my training program. And I'm doing the most volume and intensity I've ever done on the ice. So it's been kind of exciting. Last year was a real doozy of a year for me. I didn't really have a ton of fun, and it was kind of a big question mark as to whether or not the knee surgery I did was worth it. And I can now say definitively, yes, it was worth it. And I'm glad I did it, and the timing could not be better.
You broke your butt.
I broke my butt.
Mitch broke his butt.
Yeah. On August 1st, at our bike camp in Montana, I crashed and apparently broke my sacrum. I continued biking throughout the camp, like I was saying, and we just didn't find out about it until the next week when I skated, and it was very painful. I was like, wow, this doesn't feel good. Got the MRI, and it turned out it was fractured in a few places. So since that time, you know, things have been pretty limited. But where I was at leading into that camp was far above anything that I had done in the past. And so I think that where I was at really set me up for going into this season. And I think going forward, I'll get there.
So what's the pain level now? I mean, you've been skating for the last week here in Milwaukee. How does it feel?
So I'm sitting higher than I normally would and not pushing quite as hard. But again, week by week, it's getting a lot closer. And I think within the next couple weeks, I'll be 100%.
So obviously, you know, conditioning is important and technique and form are important. But where does the mental game come in speed skating, and how do you work on that part?
I think the mental game is at our level probably the biggest hurdle a lot of us have to overcome, because at this point we're so well conditioned and trained, and practices are hard, sure, but we can really get through them. And a good or bad day can really come down to your perspective and how you handle your results. I think our team as a whole has gotten a lot better with our mental game. Obviously, everybody's different. But at least for me personally, it's kind of just a constant battle of perseverance and knowing that every little bit I do every day will ultimately help me get where I want to be, and trying to just maintain a very high level of positivity and probably a certain level of goofiness to kind of keep things a little more relaxed and not take it too seriously.
Yeah, the mental side to me is, and I mean, it, there's cliches all over the place about it, but I really do think that the mental aspect has been the biggest factor in my performance over the past few years. And just like actually focusing at practice on what needs to be changed to go faster. If you just show up every day and try hard, that's great, but you're not going to get better at a certain point. You can only have talent or effort for so long. And especially like with the injuries we were talking about, if you're injured and can't skate, there's still a way to practice. You know, if you visualize your races and, you know, use mental imagery every day, it's like you're still doing it.
Does the thinking, does the mental work end when the gun goes off? Do you have to be completely blank, or are you? I mean, I think the psychologists talk about flow. Like you have to be thinking without thinking while you're skating.
For me, no. I think again, I used to just skate and just when the gun goes off, I just go, and now it's more having checkpoints every step of the way. I've been working with a sports psychologist on. Honing in exactly what I need to think about at every little spot. And I have like maybe 15 different things as I go through the 30-second race on what to work on. If I just run through those in my head as my race is going, I have a really good race. If I forget one or just kind of like space out and give effort, then again, it's not going to go well.
Same for you?
I'm a little bit different. I don't have that many checkpoints in my race mentally, but it's definitely... It's not just turning your brain off when the gun goes off. It's kind of implementing a plan that you have put in place for your race where you're only focusing on, for me at least, one, two, maybe three things over the course of the race and kind of almost having a mantra going in my head. So I'm not coming out of my skating or worried about what my pair is doing or anything that could maybe distract me from the quality of skating I want to be doing. So the gun goes off and... It is kind of a sort of autopilot because you want to be able to just execute without overthinking. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind some of your maybe few base points that you want to remember over the course of your race.
When it comes to the Olympics, which I hear are kind of a big deal, do you have to approach the Olympics the same way you approach every other race?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing that happens at the Olympics is sometimes people get a little too worked up or, you know, they're like, this is the Olympics, this is it. But in reality, it's the same people we race all year long, every other year at World Cups. And it's the only difference is it has this, you know, this title attached to it. So I think success at the games comes from approaching it how you would approach any other race, whether it's a World Cup or a weekend time trial at the Pettit.
You don't get to march into the stadium waving a flag at the Pettit, though.
I mean, you could.
You could. I don't know how many people are going to be watching.
Well, so, and along those lines, I mean, I wanted to ask you before we wrap up. I mean, there are a lot of us that have done competitive sports, you know, and depending on how competitive they are, you know, there's pressure on you to perform, but playing for a rec league or a high school or even a college is one thing, and a lot of that pressure is self-directed. Do you feel additional pressure when you're wearing a skin suit that says USA on it?
I think I feel additional pride. It kind of gives me this larger sense of self and kind of puts in perspective everything I've been doing and makes me want it even more because I'm not just doing it for myself at that point. I'm doing it for an entire country, and I really like that part of it.
Me too. I really like the aspect of, you know, fighting for your country. Or competing for your country. And I think I've been putting pressure on myself over the past couple of years from our organization standpoint or friends and family also, just trying to make them proud as well, you know.
Well, Mitch Whitmore, Sugar Todd, I hope you will bring your medals back and spend some time with us in the studio.
I would love to.
Me too.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sugar Todd and Mitch Whitmore are members of the U.S. speed skating team. Todd is a graduate of Wauwatosa East High School, and Whitmore graduated from Waukesha North. He went to UWM for a time before devoting his full efforts to speed skating. They both train in Utah year-round, but they're back in Milwaukee for the national team's training camp at the Pettit National Ice Center.